Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whichever time it is in the day that you are choosing to tune in to Tea Time with Effie. Thank you so much for tuning in today, babies. I am very enthusiastic about this episode. I don't even know why, but something just told me, you know what, Effie? You got to speak on this. You got to speak on this. But before we start the episode, let me start off by saying, I just want to say thank y'all to everybody so much for continuing to, you know, stream my podcast. Whether you are up to date with the episodes, whether you're still moving through season one, it don't matter to me. The fact that y'all are taking the time to listen to Tea Time with Effie means a great deal to me, and I am so very appreciative of that fact. So without further ado, whether you're laying on your bed listening to me on your earphones, you might even be in your car and have me on the stereo, or maybe you're in the grocery or liquor store doing your weekly or monthly shopping. Thank you so much for tuning in to Tea Time with Effie today, babies, and today's episode 6 of season 2 of Tea Time with Effie, and this episode is entitled Silencing Your Inner Saboteur. Yes, you heard correctly, Silencing Your Inner Saboteur. Which in essence means putting a blockage in front of sabotaging yourself. This episode deals with, you know, self-sabotage, how to get out of it, stories about the way I have, you know, let my inner saboteur get the best of me at times, as a baby, as an adult, and everything. So without further ado, let's dive right in. Now, babies, the first time that I really took note of the two words inner saboteur was on RuPaul's Drag Race. You know, on every episode, he would go around to the different contestants, ask them, okay, what are you going to be doing for this challenge or whatever? And sometimes the contestants would be in their mind like, I want to do this, but I don't want to do that. Ooh, am I going to do it correctly? Ooh, do I even have the chops to pull this off? And Ru would always say, you know what, that is your inner saboteur. You got to get rid of that. You got to put it to the wayside, because that is something that is going to keep you behind. Once you are able to silence your inner saboteur, babies, nothing in this world will be able to hold you or prevent you from achieving all the different dreams, goals, and aspirations that you have for yourself. Is that not beautiful, babies? Shit. And that wasn't even everything that RuPaul said, but that is about, yeah, what he would say to these contestants on RuPaul's Drag Race, just to, you know, just get out of your head, and if you believe in what you are doing, go full steam ahead with this. Chapter 1, we're going to be speaking about body positivity. Now, babies, I have had an inner saboteur on my body for the longest time. This dates back to probably when I was, 9 or 10 years old. Yeah. Actually, it could go back to when I was 5. Because if I remember correctly, I'm a really tall person, right? I'm rather tall at this current moment. But before I started growing into my legs or into my body, whatever, obviously you're rather short and everything. So as a little baby, like 5, 6 years old, And it just shows my inner saboteur has been working on my mind from a young age, babies. I remember when I went to primary school, not even creche. Creche wasn't that much. But primary school in the first grade, we had had, obviously, you had your tracksuit pants. Some schools have the gray pants. And then you also have the shorts, you know, the shorts that you can wear to the school. It comes in gray. Some schools have it in different colors and whatever. And my mama had bought me this gray shorts. I didn't have a problem with it because it was hot. You know, school's always starting when it's summertime here in South Africa. So it was hot. I didn't have no problem putting on the shorts until I got into the classroom, sat down at my desk or on my stool and looked down at my legs. And I was like, Effie? Why are your thighs so big? And I would do everything in my power to hide my thighs away from different people. From the people in the class, from the teacher, whatever. I would push myself so deep into that desk that I am not able to see my legs because in my mind, my thighs was just too big. And I was like, but girl, you don't even eat that much. What the hell's going on with you? Why are your legs so big? Are you getting fat? What the hell's wrong with you? All these. Now imagine 6-7-year-old child thinking these things. Like, I should have been not even. You would think that a child wouldn't be worrying about things like this. But for me personally, my inner saboteur was hacking away at my mind. Since that day, I would look at my thighs, and even today, sometimes I sit at the couch looking at my thighs, like I'm looking at it right now as I'm speaking to y'all, looking at my thighs, and I'm like, not too bad, but you can do better. You know what I'm saying, babies? So this shows that the inner saboteur is still here, and that's why a bitch does her squats, she does her lunges. Donkey kicks, she do everything in her power to keep her thighs at a perfect shape that would make me feel comfortable in my body. So what that tells me is that, okay, at least I don't, what that tells me is at least I'm not worrying anymore. Oh, you're so fat, your thighs are so big. But now I have the fear of, ooh, these thighs getting too skinny. You know what I'm saying? And that inner saboteur just comes back and is like, you better exercise. But at the same time, it is also helping me to, you know, look after my body and make sure that when I do look at my legs or my chest or whatever, when I look at it in the mirror, I'm like, Effie, what have you been doing? Are you exercising in your sleep or something? You know what I'm saying, babies. So, that was one thing of my personally brought on by my inner saboteur. And then, of course, y'all know I've been speaking since season one about the fact of being bullied and all those types of things. Now, this section of the body positivity is not really about somebody who bullied me. I know, like, just thinking back right now, she didn't mean it as badly as I received it. There was this one here, I think I was 9 or 10 years old. We had gone on a holiday, and we was at Carnival City in Gauteng province. And we had been at the pool. I got ready to get into the pool and obviously took off my t-shirt. I had my swimming shorts on. And as I was getting ready to get into the pool, one of my cousins had said to me, "Wow, Effie, why your chest so indented? Why do your chest look like that? It's supposed to be flat. or it's supposed to be standing out or something. Why is it in there? Why you got a hole in your chest? And you know, babies, up until that moment in time, I had never looked at myself in the mirror and noticed that actually I do have an indent chest. Y'all know what I'm saying? Even up to today, I still got it. But now it works for me because the fact that it's so indented, when I'm in drag, it helps me with my cleavage. But back then, I was like, what is this girl talking about? And literally, since that moment in time, it's like she just activated that inner saboteur to be like, girl, oh boy, let me tell you, your chest indented. Babies, when I tell you, whenever we would go to the beach or to a pool or anything, I would not want to swim without wearing a vest or a sweater or anything, because in my mind, I was thinking everybody, if my cousin could see it, everybody else can see it. So everybody's probably thinking, what the hell is wrong with this girl's chest? Why is it so indented? I started speaking to my cousins, different cousins now, cousins from my father's side. And I was like, do y'all got an indented chest too? And I saw that actually it's a genetic trait that is in most of my cousins on my father's side. Even my father, he has it too. My grandmother, she has it too, but obviously she has breast, so you can't really see hers. But in the boys, you can see it. Now, on different people, it's different, and obviously it's not only common in my family, but I started looking at their different chests, and I would be like, oh, Lino, you got it too, but y'all's not as bad as mine. Oh, Gary, you got it too, but y'all's not as bad as mine. And I would look at Jaden and all these different cousins, even at my father. The one time, I was like, Daddy, you got an indented chest too? He said, yes, I got an indented chest too. I said, why? Why we got it? And he said to me, Effie, that is just the way, you know, we genetically inclined. And I couldn't understand it. I didn't like it. But as I grew older, and specifically from the point where I started doing drag, and like I say, now the indented chest works for me because of the fact that the little pectoral muscles that I have forms a beautiful little cleavage. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm just like, oh, I don't even care of the fact that it's indented. Bitch looks sickening. You know what I'm saying, babies? So just look at how, speaking on body positivity specifically, the fact that I saw my thighs for the first time thinking, oh my God, it's so skinny. It went all up into my adulthood. And my cousin saying to me, oh, Effie, why your chest so indented? Going all the way up to my adulthood. It just shows that. Now, I don't know if this speaks on insecurities as a whole, or is it just my inner saboteur? Is it a low self-esteem? Well, I do feel like it's, you know, it's, how do I say? All of those things are in one basket, and all this body issues of body shaming that I had of my own self was affecting me for these years. And luckily, like I said, with my legs, now I started exercising, so I like the way I look. With my chest, now it works for drag, so I'm fine with it. It just shows that if you do something about a topic or an area on your body specifically that makes you feel bad or ashamed of yourself, you do help your mind and yourself to, you know, just feel better about yourself. That's what I'm trying to say, right? And this takes us straight into drag positivity, you know, being a drag performer and all those things. And I've always had this inner saboteur as well. Like, I remember the first time when I entered Cape Town's drag performer, I was nervous. I had anxiety attack at the back. Ooh, you're not going to be able to do it. Ooh, these queens are better than you. Until I got onto the stage, the music started playing, and I was just like, girl, you better put that anxiety and that inner saboteur to the wayside and realize that you came here to do something today, right? Went out, we did what we did, danced, performed, lip sync for my life, everything, and I was happy. But not only on that, but also this inner saboteur causing anxiety, you know, to form in myself. The fact that my body, the self-sabotaging of my body had even come into my drag persona, because now I have this anxiety of, oh, am I going to be good enough in the saboteur? Who is my outfits? Is it going to look as good as the other contestants in the saboteur? Why? Why do we do this to ourselves? I don't know. I really don't know why we do this to ourselves. Maybe it's just because that's the way we are wired, or sometimes the things just happen or whatever. And while I was busy, what do you call it, doing my show notes for this episode, I actually thought to myself, you know what, Effie, you're not just going to speak on your own inner saboteur tea on this episode. Go on to, you know, YouTube. Go on to Spotify. Listen to what other people are talking about with self-sabotaging. Did that. And you know what? I actually included one of those talks into the show notes for today, because maybe it can help you the way it, okay, I only did it today, but just listening and reading it, I was like, wow, that's amazing. I never thought of it in that way, you know what I'm saying? So that takes us straight into chapter 2 of silencing your inner saboteur. And chapter 2 is entitled, it says a statement or a question. You were born as a unique and amazing being, and you used to know it. Should I say it again? You were born as a unique and amazing being or person, and you used to know it. What happened? That is a quote that is paraphrased by, I'm not sure if it's doctor or professor, but it's of Shazad Shamin. And I got it off of TED Talks on the YouTube. Is that not just a powerful statement or question to make? You were born as a unique, amazing being, and you used to know it. What happened? Well, what Shazad said on the talk was that there's quite a few layers. Can we say layers? Let's just go for the lack of the correct word, layers of what makes up your inner saboteur. He said there's 9 of them, right? There's 9 of them. I didn't write down all 9. I just focused on the 2 that spoke to me the most. You know what I'm saying? And the first one was or is called the judge, right? I'm just going to call him doctor. What Dr. Shamin or Professor Shamin said was that everybody has 2 inner saboteurs, at least. You have the judge, and then you have at least another one inside yourself. Right, babies? So the judge. Let's see. Okay, so this is what the judge does. Now, a few years back, after I had been retrenched, right, from my last permanent job that I had. Had my apartment was fully furnished, everything. Lost the job, could not find a new job, lost everything. Literally everything, I'm trying to tell you. At least some of the things I was able to sell, but you know what? Losing what you have worked hard for, you know, building this home for yourself, it really put a strain on me. My inner saboteur, the judge, said to me, "Oh, you a loser. You should have known this was going to happen to you. You know? You a loser. What you going to do now? What you going to do now? You going to try something else and losing that too? Your relationship done didn't work. You done lost in love. You done lost your job. You done lost your house. What you gonna try next so that you can lose next?" That is all the types of things that went through in my mind. It was a very dark time in my in my life. And it really, and that is where Effie, the character Effie, really helped me force myself out of that dark place. But the judge, the judge is terrible. He's terrible. I don't like him. I don't like him. I need him to get up out of my head. But what Dr. Shamin said, or Professor Shamin said, was once you hear yourself, or once you hear the judge in your head saying something, recognize it immediately so that you can take the power away from it. Don't push it to the wayside, because then the judge is always going to wait for the next possibility or next instant where he or she, whichever you want to say the judge is in your mind, can sabotage you and pull you back down into your dark space that you was before. And so the judge can literally make you start judging yourself. And if we think back to, like, the fact that I've been bullied and ridiculed as a child, as many of us had been, we have been judged from a young age, and then now as an adult, or as you are growing up, your inner saboteur, you start judging yourself. Is that not amazing? Everything, I wouldn't say amazing as in, oh, it's wonderful, but if you think about it in that sense, you've been judged all along, so now you become extra hard on yourself. Is that not amazing? If you think about it, and that actually makes sense to me. I don't know how y'all feel about it, but it makes me think of two things. Not only the, you know, losing the apartment, where I was judging myself like, "Ooh, you a loser. What's next that you're going to lose in life?" Also, as a child, now, I don't know if this is my inner saboteur again, but literally I wanted to say something right now. And I was just like, "Do you really want to say like that, Effie?" But let me say it anywho. I do not have the best singing voice. However, I can hold a tune. And I have called my voice. I have started to, I have started to name my voice Diana Ross. And people say, why do you say your voice's name is Diana Ross? Then I say, because I'm not able to sing like Jennifer Hudson, Celine Dion, Beyonce and, you know, Aretha Franklin, those type of people. My vocals does not allow me to do that. Even though when I was younger, I was able to reach the notes, my vocal ability just does not allow me to sing as strong as them. Whereas Diana has a nice medium tone that is very easy for people to sing along to, like a songs like Baby Love, My Baby Love, I Miss You, Oh How I Miss My Love. You see, very easy. It's like a neutral tone. You can play with it, but you ain't got much, you know, space to do the high belting and those types of things. Even though you can do it, you possibly can. But, you know, if you record yourself, you're going to sound crazy. So I don't know if that's the inner saboteur too as well, because of the fact that as a younger person, people have always been... Now, actually, let me take it back. When I was in primary school, right? Hold on, let me drink this cool one, because clearly my voice is telling me, oh, so you dissing me now, so just have some cool drink, because... Starting to strain all of a sudden. And when I was in Sunday school in church, right? Choir master of the Sunday school was my mama at the time. Choir master of the youth choir was one of the priests. And one of the priests had said, anybody is able to sing. Everybody can sing. The only thing is you need to find where your voice works best. Right? Takes me back to what I just said. I know my voice don't work best when it comes to belting and what is the other word? I'm doing the falsettos and that. But on a tone that is similar to Diana Ross's tone, medium, where you can, you know, that is where my voice works best. So that takes me back to what that priest said, was that anybody can sing. You just need to find out where your sweet spot is. Y'all know what I'm saying, babies. And so after that, started obviously going into different relationships. I'd always sing or whatever. And I had this one partner, and he could sing. Ooh, he could sing. I'm trying to tell y'all, he could sing. And if you compare my voice to his, he a much better singer than me, you know. But he would do this thing where it would say like, ooh, is that cats? Is that cats meowing in the room? What the hell is going on? What is that terrible sound? You know what I'm saying? Judging my vocal abilities. He left, and still after the relationship, still I have this mentality of, oh, you can't sing. You can't do the Jennifer Hudson. You can't do the Celine. Just stay in your lane. Is that true? Is it, or is it just that I haven't found my sweet spot? Like I say, my Diana Ross. I don't know. But that's where the judge is. My inner judge, inner saboteur, telling me, Effie, you can't sing. Don't be singing, and I am telling you of Effie White. You know that's not for you. Sing Baby Love of the Supremes. It's nice and low, nice and medium for your vocal abilities. Is that inner saboteur? I don't know. Sounds like it to me, babies. Sounds like it to me. So let's move on to the second inner saboteur type that Dr. Shamin had spoken about, and that was called the victim, right? The victim. And when he said the victim in the video, I listened to it and I was like, Weffy, that's you. That is actually you. I never thought up until today that I got a victim mentality. Until he explained it, right? And what he said was, the victim would be like, Why does this keep happening to me? I did nothing wrong. Why are they treating me this way? Why is this happening to me? What did I do wrong? Is it Murphy's Law? Did I do something in my past life? What's going on? The victim, right? The victim type in the saboteur. And it immediately made me think of Umbigo last week. I noticed that a few people had unfollowed me. And I couldn't understand why they unfollowed me. Because I was like, I didn't do nothing to you. Did I say something wrong? Did I do something wrong? What did I do? I really didn't realize that I was actually, you know, playing the victim in my own mind. In my own mind, playing the victim of the fact that people chose to unfollow me. Whether they follow me or not, that's their business. It don't necessarily mean that I done did something wrong. Maybe they just don't vibe with me like that. You know what I'm saying? So now, and I'm actually, as I'm speaking about it, I'm getting a headache because it's like my mind is so tuned into thinking this type of way that now that I'm thinking a different way, it's like my head is starting to ache because it's different. Like that toxic trait, like I would always say, y'all know I did a brain detox, that toxicity of being a victim or in the saboteur of yourself is now fighting against you trying to grow Dr. Leaf would say the toxic tree and the healthy tree. So now the healthy tree is starting to grow out and the toxic tree is just like, ooh, what are you doing? This is not normal. We don't think this way. Y'all know what I'm saying, babies? So yeah, the judge and the victim, saboteur or inner saboteur, has been playing on my spirit for a long time. For his and his, babies. And before I continue on to chapter 3 of this episode, I realize that we've already surpassed 30 minutes, but we're on a roll, babies. We're on a roll today, and we got to finish. Y'all know we always try to finish off our episodes on a positive note. Now, chapter 3 was where Dr. Jezard Shamin, y'all can actually go and search for the video on YouTube. What I did was I searched for inner saboteur. What it first brought up was a few videos of RuPaul, but then it also brought up the TED Talk of Dr. Jezard Shamin, where he speaks about, you know, your inner saboteur. So he says there is a way to battle your inner saboteurity. And that he referred to as your sage powers. Your sage powers combats your sabotage, your inner saboteur, right? It fights against it. Now, there was also quite a few, I think it was 5 different sages, but I only chose the 2 that works best for me and also works best for Auntilicious. From season 1. So the first sage that he mentioned was that of being empathetic and empathizing with people, right? That is a very good sage to battle your inner saboteur. And you can empathize with yourself and you can empathize with other people very easily. So, let's see. So, what an empath would do is, he or she knows that beating yourself down when you are already in a ditch is a big no-no, right? An empath knows that when You are in a ditch. Do not dig yourself into a deeper hole. Realize, yes, I'm in this ditch, but what can I do to get up out of here? Y'all know what I'm saying? So empaths, or people who empathize very well, they are very compassionate towards themselves and to others, and this keeps them energized and positive. So if somebody comes to that type of person, you would immediately, that person would, the empath would immediately be able to, you know, lift up their spirits and just be an ear to listen to and give you good, combat techniques to help that person who is sabotaging themselves get themselves out of that rut. Does it make sense, babies? Because it makes sense to me. That's what I normally do. Put myself into your shoes, and then we're going to try and get up out of those shoes together. Y'all know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's easier said than done. But obviously, the more you speak, the better it, you know, the better you are able to release and combat that inner saboteur. The second sage power that he mentioned that also caught my ear was that of being intuitive, right? Or innovative. Not intuitive, being innovative. And this is people that think outside of the box, right? So that is a good, being an innovative person is a good combat or sage power to combat your inner saboteur. People who are innovative, like say for example, innovative combating the victim, right? The victim is going to say, oh, why does this keep happening to me? What did I do? But the innovative person would say, oh, this happened to me again? Well, let me go and do this next time. Let me do this. Let me do A, B, C, and D. I recognize that this has happened to me, but let me do this and let me excel in that. You know what I'm saying? Innovative people, they are very good in excelling in their endeavors. This is people who sing, people who have podcasts. Like say, for example, let's just use me as an example. In Cape Town, at least, I cannot say with perfect surety, but as far as what I know amongst my peers, I am the first drag queen in Cape Town, at least, who has a podcast. Being innovative, that also combats that drag insecurity that I had or that I have, where I say, oh, Effie, are you sure you're going to perform well like that? Are you sure that your outfits are good? Finding a different route, still in your drag, you know, in your drag, what do you call it? Character, but finding a different route where you will excel in and excelling in that. Do it make sense, babies? So literally, the innovative part of me helps me combat the victim mentality that I have, and the empath helps me combat the judging myself, but realizing, you know what, beating yourself down when you were already down is not going to help you get up out of that ditch. So yes, babies, that is today's episode on silencing your inner saboteur. Like I said, if y'all want to research more on the other topics, the other nine, he said there's nine stages or types of inner saboteurs. I only spoke about two. There's five sage powers. I only spoke about two. Go on to YouTube and search for inner saboteur and scroll down just a little bit, because most probably, I don't know how everybody's YouTube works, but most probably like mine worked, RuPaul started at the top, but right beneath RuPaul was the TED Talk by Dr. or Professor Shahzad Shamin, speaking on how to combat your inner saboteur. So yes, babies, that brings us to the end of this episode. I am so grateful to everybody for listening. I hope y'all have learned something. Like I said, my head is killing me at this moment in time because, shit, this episode made me think too deep, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed researching a topic and putting it into something that you are building on, like this Tea Time with Effie podcast. Makes me feel really good. And the fact that y'all continue to stream my, my podcast makes me very happy. Currently, I've actually checked on Anchor, where I record my podcast on. Currently, we have reached 500 streams. We have reached 500 streams. That is across all the episodes. And that is very good. I'm very happy and appreciative of that because it's a milestone. It's a milestone. The next milestone will be 1,000. Then we go on to 2,500, etc., etc. So I just want to say thank you to everybody for continuing to listen to Tea Time with Effie. I really do appreciate y'all. So let's end off today. Whether you are laying on your bed, listening to me on your earphones, you might even be in your car driving and having me on the stereo or surround sound, or be in the grocery or liquor store listening to me on your earphones again while you're doing your weekly or monthly shopping. Thank you so much for tuning in to Tea Time with Effie. Y'all be blessed.